quickly, would you take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Now, I'm not going to preach out of this tonight. I just want to read it, say a couple things, and then I'm going to read something else. Then we're going to close in another passage that I think will be important that we understand some things tonight. So take your Bibles, go to the New Testament, all the way in the back, and closer to the back part of the New Testament, we have 1 Thessalonians. So if you'd go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you have your Gospels and then your epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and we have 1 Thessalonians before 2 Thessalonians. If you go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, if you would, there's a string of things there that are mentioned that we ought to do. I want to start in verse 14 and go down through verse, just part of that string of things that we're supposed to do, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 14 all the way down to verse 18. Now we exhort you, brethren. So Paul is telling them things that they ought to do. The Christians, notice it's brethren. These are for Christians. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice. Here's what I want you to see. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, how many things does God tell us to give thanks in? In everything give thanks, right? In all things, in everything that comes our way. Sunday night we looked at all people, even the people that God has given to us. In all things, in all people, in all events, let's give thanks. Give thanks to who? God. And that's the point that I want you to see, all right? So keep that in mind, that we're supposed to be thankful to God. All right, now we're going to look up from the scriptures for just a moment. I'm going to read some things to you. Now we have a diversified group in here of age. Some are in school right now. Some aren't even in school, and they're going to get into school very soon here. Then we have some that are in school and some that are just getting close to being out of school. Some that are just have been out of school for just a little bit, a few years. And then we have others that are kind of in the middle that have been out for a little while, but it's not so far removed. Then some of you hardly remember school. And then some of you say, school? What's that? No. We have a diversified group of people here. I want you to think back of what you learned that Thanksgiving was and meant. Now, even for me, as I am just getting ready to turn 44, so kind of probably as I look across, maybe in the middle of things right here, still at 44, when I went to public school and they taught about Thanksgiving, I remember they still taught about the pilgrims coming over. They still talked about the Indians and those key Indians that helped them out. And they had some Thanksgiving feasts and they celebrated together. But can I say this for all of you who thought that that was the Thanksgiving story that everybody still hears today? Can I tell you something? That's not the story that they're telling in the public schools today. Did you know that? They're not telling that anymore. You know what they're telling about Thanksgiving? They're telling us that Thanksgiving had nothing to do with that, and when they came over, these rotten white men pilgrims took away all the stuff. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm not saying that people in United States history have not taken certain things from certain groups of people. I'm not defending that or saying that that hasn't happened. But you know what they've done is they've changed this Thanksgiving story into kind of a story that we're hearing very familiar today. It's all racist. These people, they came over and they looked at these people that were natives and they just wiped them off the face of the earth and they were just mean and they took this. And I'll tell you what, that's what they're teaching in the schools today. Now, there's a diversity of some of what they're teaching, and maybe different teachers would say this. But honestly, our children that are growing up in schools today are not learning the truth of Thanksgiving. They're not. They're being lied to about all kinds of things, and they're getting in their minds about these greedy people that just whatever. And what it's doing is it's building up this tension between white people and Indians and this people and that. I'll tell you, it's not unifying like that first Thanksgiving was. It's very diversifying. It's very breaking up unity. There are people that are much smarter, historians than me, that have gone to key historical writings and pieces of literature that they could go to that are very important that we need to go back to find out the truth. So I understand that for many of you, maybe I am speaking to a group of people that said, I thought that everybody knew about Squanto. I thought that everybody knew about, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians and the first Thanksgiving. But again, I'm telling you, that's not what they're learning today. And probably I'm speaking to a group of people that say, oh, that's what I thought it was, and that's what I believe. But it's so interesting today that there's so many lies and untruths out there that even people in church are starting to believe things that are not true. And so what I'd like to do is I want to read for you go back to some of these old historical things and read some things to you about really what Thanksgiving was about. And there's a point that is going to be made concerning Thanksgiving to God this evening. It's called, this article that I want to read, is called Celebrating Thanksgiving in America. Some of you might be familiar with the author, David Barton, who wrote this. The tradition introduced, it's not going to be long, but just a few pages here. Just listen to this. The tradition introduced by European Americans of Thanksgiving as a time to focus on God and his blessings dates back well over four centuries in America. For example, such Thanksgivings occurred in 1541 at Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, with Coronado and 1,500 of his men. In 1546 at St. Augustine, Florida, with French Huguenot and Protestant colonists. In 1598 at El Paso, Texas, with Juan de Onate and his expedition. In 1607 at Cape Henry, Virginia, with the landing of the Jamestown settlers. In 1619 at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia, and many other such celebrations. But it is primarily from the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving celebration of 1621 that we derive the current tradition of Thanksgiving Day. The pilgrims set sail for America on September 6, or 1620, and for 2 months braved the harsh elements of a storm-tossed sea. Upon disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service and then hastily began building shelters. However, unprepared for such a harsh New England winter, nearly half of them died before spring. Emerging from that grueling winter, the pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language, explaining to them that he had learned English from fishermen and traders. A week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, who lived with the pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Praise the Lord for that. Squanto taught the pilgrims much about how to live in the New World, and he and Samoset helped forge a long-lasting peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto as a special instrument sent of God for our good and never left us till he died. That summer, the pilgrims still persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, reaped a bountiful harvest. As Pilgrim Edward Winslow, later to become the governor, affirmed, God be praised, we had a good increase of corn. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. The grateful pilgrims therefore declared a three-day feast in December of 1621 to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends America's first Thanksgiving festival. 90 Wampanoag Indians joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of feasting, which included shellfish, lobsters, turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods. Of play, the young pilgrim and Wampanoag men engaged in races, wrestling matches, and athletic events, and of prayer. This celebration and its accompanying activities were the origin of the holiday that Americans now celebrate each November. However, while the pilgrims enjoyed times of prosperity for which they thanked God, they also suffered extreme hardships. In fact, in 1623, they experienced an extended and prolonged drought. Knowing that without a change in the weather, there would be no harvest and the winter would be filled with death and starvation, Governor Bradford called the pilgrims to a time of prayer and fasting to seek God's direction or God's direct intervention. Significantly, shortly after that time of prayer, and to the great amazement of the Indian who witnessed the scene, clouds appeared in the sky and a gentle and steady rain began to fall. As Governor Bradford explained, it came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in abundance, as that ye earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quickened ye decayed corn and other fruits as was wonderful to see, and made ye Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair warm weather as, through his blessing, caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing. The drought had been broken. The fall, therefore, produced an abundant harvest. There was cause for another thanksgiving. The pilgrim practice of designating an official time of thanksgiving spread into neighboring colonies and became an annual tradition. And just as those neighboring colonies followed the pilgrim's example of calling for days of thanksgiving, so too did they adopt their practice of calling for a time of prayer and fasting. The New England colonies therefore developed a practice of calling for a day of prayer and fasting in the spring and a day of prayer and thanksgiving in the fall. The Thanksgiving celebrations so common throughout New England did not begin to spread southward until the American Revolution, when Congress issued 8 separate national Thanksgiving proclamations. Congress also issued 7 separate proclamations for time of fasting and prayer, for a total of 15 official prayer proclamations during the American Revolution. America's first national Thanksgiving occurred in 1789 with the commencement of the federal government. According to the congressional record for September 25th of that year, the first act after the framers completed the framing of the Bill of Rights was that Mr. Elias Boudinot said he could not think of letting the session pass without offering an opportunity to all the citizens of the United States of joining with one voice in returning to the Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings he had poured down upon them. With this view, therefore, he would remove the following resolution, or would move the following resolution. Resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Mr. Roger Sherman justified the practice of thanksgiving on any single event not only as a laudable one in itself, but also as warranted by a number of precedents in Holy Writ. This example he thought worthy of a Christian imitation on the present occasion. That congressional resolution was delivered to President George Washington, who heartily concurred with the request and issued the first federal Thanksgiving proclamation, declaring in part, "Whereas it is duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do appoint Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection. That same year, the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which President Washington was a member, announced that the first day in November would become its regular day for giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities. Following President Washington's initial proclamation, national Thanksgiving proclamations occurred only sporadically. Another by President Washington in 1795, one by John Adams in 1799, one by James Madison in 1814, and again in 1815. Most official Thanksgiving observances occurred at the state level. In fact, by 1815, the various state governments had issued at least 1,400 official proclamations, almost half for times of thanksgiving and prayer, and the other half for times of fasting and prayer. Much of the credit for adoption of Thanksgiving as an annual national holiday may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Josepha Hale, the editor of Godey's Ladies' Book, a popular ladies' book containing poetry, artwork, and articles of America's leading author. For nearly three decades, she promoted the idea of National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president until Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of that November. The Thanksgiving proclamation issued by Lincoln was remarkable not only for its strong religious content, but also for its timing, for it was delivered in the midst of the darkest days of the Civil War, with the Union having lost battle after battle throughout the first 3 years of that conflict. Yet, despite those dark circumstances, Lincoln nevertheless called Americans to prayer with an air of positive optimism and genuine thankfulness, noting that the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source, that's capital S, the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath advised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. That remarkable Thanksgiving proclamation came at a pivotal point in Lincoln's spiritual life. 3 months earlier, the Battle of Gettysburg had occurred, resulting in the loss of some 60,000 American lives. It had been while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves there at Gettysburg that he first committed his life to Christ. As he later explained to a clergyman, "When I left Springfield, Illinois, to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ." The dramatic spiritual impact resulting from that experience was not only visible in Lincoln's Thanksgiving Day proclamation and also his 1864 call for a day of prayer and fasting, but especially in his 1865 second inaugural address. Over the 75 years following Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation, presidents faithfully followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a national Thanksgiving Day. But that date of the celebrations varied widely from proclamation to proclamation. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt began celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of each November, and in 1941, Congress permanently established that day as the national Thanksgiving holiday. As you celebrate Thanksgiving this year, remember to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. And then in parenthesis, below are representative examples of the scores of Thanksgiving proclamations penned by various founding fathers. Now, I'm not going to go through these ones that some of them have done, because I think it was back in 2016, I don't know if some of you remember, I went through many of these proclamations from president to president that did them. Now, you might be interested in hearing them again, but you can find them. But many presidents have made declarations or proclamations of thanksgiving since this time. And so I end there. Now, I tell you this. I did not get this article off of somewhere on the internet, you know, just random. This comes from very historical and highly accurate documents that we know from. And I want to tell you something. Maybe you knew those things, but I want to tell you something. There was something in there. I think it's neat that we find the truth of what happened on Thanksgiving in spite of what they're telling us today. But there was something interesting, and I kind of highlighted it when I read. What was it? When giving thanksgiving, they were thankful to who? Very clear. Who are we to be thankful to? Folks, I want to tell you, it's God, the object of our thankfulness. Do people help us out with things? Well, yes. Are there events and situations that we can be thankful for? Absolutely. But I'll tell you, folks, these people understood this. The pilgrims, the Indians, these people that were founders of this Thanksgiving holiday, they understood something. Even what Abraham Lincoln said, it is not any person, it is the Almighty God in which we are thankful. Folks, I want to tell you something very practically. You say, well, whatever about all that history. Can I tell you this? We need to be thankful to God. Let's thank God for what he has done. God, thank you. God, thank you. Would you turn to James chapter 1 and verse 17? James chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us what I'm trying to say through this Thanksgiving, these Thanksgiving articles. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Understand this. Understand this verse. The very first word, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. It's from God. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, folks, the same good God that was so good to those pilgrims as they came across the ocean. The same God that was there when 50% of them died that first year. The same good God that was there for that Thanksgiving feast that they had when they celebrated with the Indians. The same good God that was there when they suffered other problems and drought. The same good God that was there to provide them with rain. The same good God that was there during the Civil War that saved this man. The same good God, I want to tell you, the same good God is the same good God that is here in the United States and in our world today that is continually bestowing his good gifts to mankind. And God is good. And I tell you, this Thanksgiving, we need to thank God for his goodness of what he is and what he has done. You see, there's a difference between that. I told you two things for who he is. Number one, do you realize God is good no matter what he does? And what he allows? It's his character, it's his person. You see, Pastor, I haven't seen any good thing for 25 years. Well, I would probably say that we need to open our eyes and see God's goodness and understand his goodness. But I will say this, but even if it was true, God is good. But beyond that, none of us have gone 25 years without any goodness. In fact, we have so many things to be thankful for. God is good every day of our lives. And I'm going to mention this on Sunday, but I was reminded yesterday morning when I got a very tragic phone call that our lives hang on a very, very, very small and thin string. And it's only because of God's grace that we breathe the next breath today. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you're here alive today, you've got something to be thankful for. God is good. And may we, like these pilgrims and the other leaders, Bradford, Lincoln, Washington, and many, many other presidents, let's be thankful to the Almighty God, which has been so good to us. Let's be thankful to Him this Thanksgiving season. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. By the way, that includes the very salvation in which we began tonight starting with and talking about. A good God loved you enough to send somebody to do the work for you, to get you to be at the place to where you could accept it and go to heaven yourself without any works. That's a good God. I praise the Lord that we all have an opportunity to accept that. If you've not, I trust you accept it tonight. And for all of us, let's thank God for His goodness and what He has provided for us through grace and mercy. We all have something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our midst tonight. I thank you for these truthful articles that we can look back and see your goodness. But then, Lord, I thank you that these individuals, they were very clear to go straight to the source, the Almighty God that has done the good in our lives. Lord, help us and let's be thankful to God for all that you are and all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in the room tonight, maybe they've been struggling and they've not been very thankful. Lord, I pray that tonight they would stop and realize you've been so good. Lord, maybe there are others in the room that didn't realize what they had to be thankful for. Maybe they never understood the truth of salvation. God, maybe tonight they would understand that truth and they would accept you. Maybe they would make that transaction of demonstration of faith. I believe in God and I'm willing to trust what he did on the cross to save me. Oh God, if there's somebody here tonight that needs to trust in that truth, I pray that they would do it. God, thank you for everybody that's come tonight. Lord, help us to have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow, trusting in you and being thankful to you, the Almighty God that has done so much for us. God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed tonight, you received